This is Sunday Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello, welcome to Sunday Supplement. I'm Simon, and with me as always is Izzy.
Hello.
Hello, Izzy. How are you?
I'm quite giggly.
Why are you giggly?
I'm giggly because you're in a slight bad mood because you can't say Sunday Supplement, which is the name of our podcast. And also, I think I've picked possibly a newspaper which will definitely beat whatever newspaper you've picked.
Well, to be honest, I'm in a bit of a bad mood because this is the fifth time we've tried to record this introduction.
It is the fifth time.
Mainly because you're giggling too much. But let's get on
And the inability for you to say Sunday, which
Sunday's
is quite
Sunday's supplement. That's what we're doing. So which paper have you discovered this week?
Well, I didn't discover it. I thought this week I would open probably with the most authoritative and granddaddy of all the Sunday newspapers, which is obviously the Sunday Telegraph.
That's how sensible...
It's not a rubbish paper. It is sensible. It has slippers, it has a pipe, it has a moustache, and it points at foreigners and says no.
Unabated racism, not really the best clincher for your paper.
It's imperialism, and it's slightly, you know...
Wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. I've chosen this week, in case you're interested, the Sunday Express.
Oh, dear.
Well, yeah. To be honest, as a contest, this is probably already over. But I chose it because it offered Alan Titchmarsh's Gardening on a Budgie. Now, obviously, I misread that.
And it was on a budget, was it?
Yeah. But it was Sunday morning.
It's your obsession with budgies, Simon. It's just getting you into trouble.
Well, I also quite like the idea of it could be aviary topiary.
Yeah, possibly. But all I'm saying is, you know, you've got to... get those cuttlefishes out of your room, because they're not coming.
So, Izzy, what are you going to cut out and keep from the Sunday Telegraph this week? And how is your cut out and keep section any better than my Sunday Express cut out and keep section?
There's one horrible article, which its headline is, "Tonight, darling, how about I give you a nice nose job, followed by a bit of liposuction?" It's an entire article about women who've married their plastic surgeons and how their plastic surgeons look at them as little projects and make them better and improve them, and how the women are fine with this.
Nice. So they're like blank canvas.
Yeah, it's a nice idea. To be honest, it doesn't deliver all the way through. You want them to really have a go at this and sort of say, actually, this is just a bit wrong.
But they don't.
I mean, it's full of quotes like, "After Alex had done my lipo, he was very pleased with himself and kept saying, nice job." So it's when you look on your partner as your little, you know, workshop, it's a bit wrong.
They should just get a shed.
They could have just got a shed, yeah.
And you said there are others?
There's a really nice article in it called The Price of Gold, which I thought, oh, I read it thinking I'm going to sneer at this, but actually it's quite nice. It's about a woman who's bipolar going out on dates and literally meeting a man, being on an up, and then going out to date with him when she's on the down, and how he thinks she has a twin and all that sort of thing. And it's actually really nicely written. It's by Terry Chaney. Also, I've got Sandy Toksvig, who made me shout with laughter, as she always does.
I have Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, no way! See, how can you pick between Sandy Toksvig and Christopher Hitchens?
Well, I'd go with the one with the better neck.
Yeah, that is true.
Neither of them have got necks.
Exactly. Because in the past, you know, their ancestors were executed. can I just read you this bit? It's about her daughter ringing her up. She's been in Wales for the Hay on Wye festival. She says, "Have you seen the Eiffel Tower?" And Sandy's like, "Well, yes, in my lifetime I have." They're on the phone. And she says, "No, today," she says. "No, darling, I'm in Wales." "Oh," she said, "I thought you were in Paris." And a muffled voice could be heard in the background shouting, "Powers, you fool."
That's nice.
Which, but she's just so funny. I mean, her books just really, you know, she's one of those writers who just get the timing right and make you laugh out loud, which is just appalling. What does The Hitch have to say?
I can't legally read The Hitch because he's in the main body of the paper. He's not in the supplements. So I can't use him as a trump card. He's not my silver surfer, I'm afraid.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is just justice right there.
Okay, well, you want to know what I'm going to keep?
Yes.
Right, well, I've got an article called Your Life in Your Hands? ? And it's about palm reading.
Oh, no.
I know. This is page 22 of my magazine. And it's got some vague tongue-in-cheek scepticism, but not a lot. The sort of main quote underneath the subheadline, I suppose you call it. Palm reading is just a bit of fairground fun, thought Fiona MacDonald-Smith, until she went for a curry and encountered a woman who claims to have met God. Now, she said that she was asked to give a little bit of information to the palm reader before the actual reading. I'll read exactly what she said. Before the meeting, all I've been asked to supply is my name, my profession, and the date, place, and time of my birth. From this, a glance at my palms and some calculations on the computer to work out my karmic planets.
So the calculations on the internet, on Google.
Well, here's the thing. I took less information than she gave them. So her name and her profession. Mm-hmm. And within 30 seconds on Google, I discovered that she suffered terrible agony breastfeeding her second child. And she really loves violas. So I think I could have done a better palm reading than the one they eventually gave her, to be honest.
Any time that any journalist gets within a sniff of the paranormal, all of their integrity goes out the window. And they just think, oh yeah, my son. That's exactly what goes through their head is, well, I could be critical, or I could just write like this.
Now, there's a little box article on mine to tell me how to read palms. And I followed their guide. I've read my own palm. And I am materialistic, spiritual, and have a good memory. Now, you know me quite well, Izzy. How accurate would you say that was?
Well, materialistic, you are such a gold digger. spiritual, I've seen you light candles and hum. And what was the last one? Yeah, I was hoping you'd forget.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I've got a very similar article in Stella, which is one of my favourite pull-out sections of the Sunday Telegraph. This is called The Knowledge, where it just basically tells you when to have a poo according to Chinese ancient understanding of qi. And if you want to know when to have a poo, ideally between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. Is the ideal time of day.
Whilst you're in bed?
Whilst you're... No, you've got to get up to have a poo, you see, and then do some exercise, and then eat breakfast like a king. Seize the day, think it through, winding down, sleep on it. Not your poo. But it's a terrible article. It's just completely... Well, obviously, it's really ancient, so it must be really good for us. And it's obviously true, even though there's absolutely no scientific evidence that acupuncture works, absolutely no scientific evidence that qi is real, and... If you want to convince me, you're going to have to do better than... If you ever put this time of day, you're going to feel better.
We've got to decide this. My cut-out and keep's clearly better than yours, until you chuck in the poo.
I've got Sandy Toxford, I've got poo, and I've got plastic surgery, which is just brilliant.
If you can combine the three, I'll concede the section.
Oh. Sandy Toxford has plastic surgery to look like a poo.
This is the food section, and Izzy's convinced she's going to beat me.
I am so going to beat you.
I might concede that you will beat me, but it may also be the reason why I beat you. My food section is completely dedicated to Anthony Worrell Thompson.
Oh, no!
I know, it's not... disgusting, right? Now, all his recipes are horrible, and all his food tastes like vomit. And then you see he just shows his ugly gnomic face, and you vomit, and then he turns your upchuck into dessert. That's perpetual motion.
That's not perpetual motion. That's just a cycle of bile.
So how can you beat my cycle of bile?
I've got an entire article here called A Champion Berry, which is all about the gooseberry.
Oh, God, I hate gooseberries.
And I, so does the writer of the article, B. Wilson. How posh are the writers of the Daily Telegraph? I've got Justine Picard, Gerard Kite, Robert Gore Canyon, and Adam Tooze and Ophelia Field. I mean, come on.
I've got Jeff Ho.
That's no good.
I know.
I basically got, you know, what's it for? Keith Abel reveals what to do with raspberry vinegar. I've got a massive pull-out section called The Best of the Summer Wine for Under £10.
And what is the best?
Ooh, look.
That good a supplement, then.
It's pretty... Oh, come on. In big capital letters halfway through, it got, bring me a beaker of wine so I may say something clever. Aristophanes. I mean, it's just beautiful. Good wine is a good familiar creature if it is well used. Iago in Othello, Act 2, Scene 3. I mean, come on.
See, your food supplement has some kind of cultural references. When one of my columnists talk about wine, they illustrated it with a picture of Manuel. From Fawlty Towers. So I think, yeah, I've lost that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. We have our own Sunday supplement, which every week we'll have our own pull-out section. This week we're going to do an Indiana Jones special, basically because we both saw it this week and thought it was excellent.
Well, excellent. I won't go that far, but, you know, it was
fun. I thought it was a very good installment of the Indiana Jones saga.
Certainly. I like the homoeroticism between him and Jim Broadbent.
See, I didn't pick up on this, and I think you're
beautiful.
Probably wrong.
What? How can you not pick up Indiana Jones packing his bag like on his bed with Jim Broadbent in the background, shirt open, swilling around a large glass of brandy, going, my wife doesn't understand me. And then Indy looking really depressed and going into his office, looking wistfully at a picture of Sean Connery. I mean, come on!
Sean Connery's his dad.
Yeah, but it wasn't even referenced as his dad. It was Sean Connery.
So hang on. So you're suggesting that Indiana Jones is somehow bisexual and was having an affair with his dean?
Not somehow having an affair with his dean. You should have seen the worried look. When Indy was getting married, how gutted did Jim Broadbent look?
To be honest, that was the worst scene in the movie. That
I don't understand why it needed that. I really don't.
Nor do I. But, you know, what can you do? I'm not going to second guess Spielberg, to be honest. The whole opening sequence up until the fridge landed was just, I thought, just perfectly good action cinema. I thought it was really good.
I was very impressed at the beginning. I didn't like the Russian lady very much.
I don't know if you saw the stories about Russia trying to actually ban this new Indiana Jones film.
The last time that Putin had a go at an American film was actually Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Because of
Dobby, the house elf, who represented Putin both physically and in speech.
That's exactly how Putin speaks in the Politburo, yes, that is true.
He also hits himself over the head with furniture.
Did you know that they actually initially, when they signed up to do Raiders of the Lost Ark, promised that they would make 5? They actually signed a contract with Paramount to make 5 of them.
I remember seeing the one where it must have been... it's not The Lost Ark, it's one with the Holy Grail in it. Which one was that?
That would be The Last Crusade.
Last Crusade, yeah. I went to see that in the cinema when I was living in Australia when I was a kid, and I cried because I got scared when the old man got old, when he drank from the wrong cup. I didn't cry in this one, therefore it's not as scary.
Okay, fair enough. Tom Selleck. Did you know Tom Selleck was originally cast as Indiana Jones?
I didn't.
You do know who Tom Selleck is, I take it. You're not too young to know Magnum.
What? Is that an ice cream? It's type of gun!
It is type of gun. It is an ice cream. It is also an 80s detective series with Hawaiian shirts.
Well, isn't all... you know, even Inspector Morse had a tie-dye shirt at one point.
No, he didn't.
Come on, Lewis.
Inspector Morse never said, come on, Lewis, whilst wearing hippie regalia.
He did indeed. It was their summer special where they had to organise a beach party.
See, we got from Indiana Jones to Inspector Morse. This is, you're not going to get this in any of the real Saturday Night Live.
My special pull-out section is the top 10 sexiest men over 60.
All right, let me guess. Rickman.
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 Is number one. Yeah, Alan Rickman.
Rickman. Rickman and Rickman.
Snape.
Top Rickman. Five, Rickman. Then Snape. Yeah. Then probably Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, just the voice.
Harrison Ford might squeak in at 7.
He's a pretty boy. I think John Thor, even though he's dead.
John Thor, okay. And you got one left.
I know. Then this won't get. I'd have to say Felicity Kendall.
Felicity Kendall is a honey.
She is. I'm not sure if she's over 60 though. She looks about 10 still. So.
She does look very good, doesn't she? She had a nice bottom in The Good Life. And
why
also,
did you say that?
Well, she did have a nice bottom in The Good Life, but I was just about to say, if it was a choice between Felicity Kendall's bottom in The Good Life or any one of Tom's jumpers, I would probably have to take one of his jumpers.
You would take it. You'd take it hard and fast.
So there we go. That's our Indiana Jones special. Perfectly licensed by Lucasfilm.
Go see Indiana Jones.
Suppose we have to do finance this week.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. But I've got a couple of sort of puns in mind, all about water profits soaring and gushing and how they won't wash, which is hilarious.
God.
Exactly. But one of two things. First of all, there's a picture of a cross-country pipeline and an inset picture of Lucasaid. And I didn't read the article, but I'm assuming that Lucasaid is pumped out of the ground across the Urals into our petrol pumps.
No, it's not actually. Lucasaid's quite sad. They actually, what it is, it's Holland Nationals. And because, as you know, the Dutch national colour is orange.
Orange, yeah.
And what happens is they just, slowly squeeze. Oh, no, that's iron brew. Oh, ignore me.
Okay. I suppose you could use Lucasaid. It's an energy giver. So why can't you use that in your car?
Because you don't want your car being all energetic.
What I do?
No, you don't.
I don't want a lethargic car.
Yeah, you do. You want a car that has to work and go slow. As soon as cars get given energy drinks, they start thinking for themselves. They think, no, I don't want to go to Cardiff. What's the point?
I think that we're missing a trick with the oil companies. I think we should make them make more money, because what they'll do, they'll eventually pump all the oil out of the ground and they'll have nowhere left to keep their profits. So they'll have to stick it in the ground. And then geological pressure will turn it into another renewable fossil fuel.
I think you find, though, that the Greens won't let them stick it in the ground, because the Greens, as we all know, like to stick it to the man.
Talking of sticking it to the man, there's an article here about how the company that puts on arms fairs has just sold that wing of their operation.
I assume by arms fairs you don't mean a charitable event for a hospital.
No, selling guns. But there's a picture of a protester outside of it with a really messy sign. But basically he's saying that the world military spending is a mountain and that it's a molehill, the amount of money we need to spend to eradicate world poverty.
But surely without world poverty, we wouldn't need guns.
Because no one would be buying them?
Well, nobody. There'd be enough money, so nobody would need money to, live off. And also, poor people are the most fun to shoot. But I've got fame and fortune in the money section, which is the other queen at Coutts or Coutts. I don't know how to spell it. C-O...
Coutts, the bank.
Yeah. The other queen at Coutts. Miranda Richardson interview. Oh yeah, Queenie.
Basically, she's got the same bank account as the queen because she was Queenie.
But there's a whole interview with her and she's quite funny. So I think, and also there's a picture of her dressed up as Elizabeth I. So I think I win.
Yeah, right. Okay then, this is our puzzle section where each week Izzy will offer me a selection of articles from her paper, one of which is false. And it's my job to spot which are the articles and which is the farcical.
So headline one, the hit parade.
Right.
This one is about Mexicans, musicians, being shot.
Right, okay.
Hence the best pun on the word hit.
A pun about murder, always good.
Article number two, moving a muscle, which is about the transport of fresh fish into Birmingham.
From where?
From the sea, obviously.
Okay.
I'm not going to give too much away, Simon. You're not going to catch me out on details.
Okay. Third one?
Curry in no hurry.
I'm a sucker for a rhyme.
I know. This one is about Edwina Curry moving house.
But she's not in a rush to do it.
She might not be.
Okay.
The last one, A Dame of Two Halves.
Okay, and that's about?
It's about a woman who owns a football club.
I don't know why I found that funny. Delia Smith owns a football club.
But is she a dame?
I think she is, actually, isn't she?
It's not about Delia Smith.
Okay, right, so I haven't caught you out on that one then. All right, let's go through them in order. Hit Parade, very funny. Mm-hmm. That's like mariachis.
Yes, it's literally Mexicans being shot by the mafia, Mexican musicians being shot by the mafia.
Well, we need to get Banderas on the case with his big cello case that's got his great guns in it. So I'm going to say that's an article, simply because it would make a good film.
So you're deciding truth on what you want it to be?
Yeah. Isn't that how we should shape all our reality?
No, it's not.
Right. Okay, moving a muscle, a fish into Birmingham. Yeah, I mean, that really doesn't appeal to me in any way, shape or form. Seafood is lovely. Birmingham, less so.
But curry, it's how do you ice them? How do you ice them, Simon?
You put them in ice.
And transport them? How heavy is ice to transport? Think about it.
Right, I'm going to say that's an article. Curry in no hurry. As I say, I'm a sucker for rhyme, so that has to be an article straight away. Dame of Two Halves, that I am saying is a farcical, simply because I think you think that I think you wouldn't do a sports article. So there we go. Farcical, Dame of Two Halves.
Okay, so I will do it in a weird order. I'm going to start with Curry in No Hurry.
Article.
Believe it or not, that is an article.
Yes.
She's waiting to move house. Then we've got The Hit Parade.
Right. This has to be
which
true.
Which is about Mexican musicians.
It's got to be true. Come on. Has he got a groin gun, you know, like in Desperado? Come on. Has Johnny Depp got no eyes? Come on.
It's an article.
Yes.
So now it's between A Dame of Two Halves and Moving a Muscle.
See, now I'm torn. Like a muscle. No, I'm sticking with it. Dame of Two Halves, farcical.
So Simon sticks with it. And as always in life, Simon is wrong.
Oh,
oh yes. Dame of Two Halves is a genuine article. It is in the Stella edition of the Sunday Telegraph, which is obviously their girl one. And Moving a Muscle, I made up.
All right, we'll have a giveaway face-off then. What freebies did your paper have?
Well, actual freebies that came with it, I've got a voucher, which is valid for 3 weeks, to have half-price meals at Zizzy's, which I've already mentioned is pretty damn hot, just for its name. I could win a shopping trip to Hong Kong, and probably the best one, I get free ladybird food if I order some ladybirds.
What do ladybirds eat?
Aphids?
I've got free food in mine as well. I got a free bag of Haribo. Maybe that's what they're giving away. Maybe that's what you should feed ladybirds. To be fair, I would have to go back in time and find a super drug to collect my Haribo. But I still think that beats anything your paper's given away. The Telegraph is a rubbish paper with rubbish supplements, which also have rubbish freebies.
I have got an independent supplement from the Media Planet about glaucoma, which is only distributed within the Sunday Telegraph. So you don't even know what glaucoma is, do you? You might have glaucoma and you wouldn't know.
Yeah, but if I had glaucoma, how would I read that supplement?
Because glaucoma, right, it doesn't actually take over like that. It's very gentle and gradual. So at the beginning of it, your eyesight might be fine and then you'll be able to notice as the glaucoma come on.
Does glaucoma come on in the length of time it takes to read a glaucoma special?
No, it takes even longer. So my point still stands.
I suppose it's time for us to decide who's got the better paper. I think the Sunday Express is better. You obviously...
No, you don't. You don't. You know that I won. You obviously have made the massive error of picking a newspaper you hate on the off chance that it had a budgie in it.
Yeah, that's possibly true. But I had a few gems.
Did you?
No. Well, I can't actually remember what any of my supplements were about.
Which
I had the palm thing,
problem.
Didn't I?
You did have the palm thing, which is interesting, but it was poorly written. It actually suggested that palm reading could possibly be a real thing, which, as we both know, is absolute...
Poppycock? Blenheim.
Yeah, poppycock, that's the word.
Blenheim?
I was trying to think of bull but a different way of saying it. BS. Uh-huh. I couldn't remember any form of nautical...
Nautical? What are you...
when you use boats, right, and you have to use a radio on a boat, or if you were a policeman and you had to, like, Whiskey Tango,
right,
Foxtrot Alpha,
right,
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So Whiskey Tango Foxtrot was that all about? But that's American Whiskey Tango, so it's like Wyoming.
I think it's fairly clear that
Faro.
This is a kind of a non-decision, really, isn't it? We're already talking about police radio codes in an effort not to say what the f***. And the Sunday Express, it just paled into insignificance, didn't it, against the Daily Telegraph?
The Telegraph, I mean, it's got the best book reviews. It's got Sandy Toksvig. It's got an interview with Miranda Richardson. It's got everything you could possibly want from, you know, your Sunday newspaper. And I think that were I to go out again last Sunday, I would choose... again, to buy the Telegraph.
Well, to be honest, I think 3 days ago I would have bought the Sunday Telegraph had I known now what I know.
Had you known then what you know now?
Yeah.
Because you do know now what you know now.
Well, do I know now what I knew then?
Well, according to that palm reader, not only do you know now what you knew then, but you also know what you're going to know in the future if you know, if you just look at your hand.
So there we go. The award this week. Our inaugural award on Sunday supplement for the paper you should have bought 3 days ago, the Sunday Telegraph.
Whee! Which is Izzy's paper. Izzy chose that one. That makes Izzy the best. Tune in next week to see me whoop Simon's ass again.
Well, you won't see it for a start. There'll be no ass whooping.
There will be
either.
Ass whooping. There will be definite ass whooping.
But we will be here next week. Find us via our Facebook group. And if you want to write to us, you can email us at
sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. That's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. All one word, apart from the dot and the at.
So, yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.